WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are a positively into a new year and into the postseason where we're watching other football teams play, not name the Ravens. And on the sports side, you know, we got no baseball, right? And we got the Orioles asking for money, and we'll get to that. And we got hockey season, and it's still early on all that. The Terps have no hope, and they're going to hire a coach. And I guess the Ravens and the comings and goings of Lamar, and that's going to dominate the sports landscape and all of this. And my friendship with Leonard Raskin began over all things Ravens. This has been, I mean, we've talked so much about what happens when the season ends. I found out we talk about draft picks, Len. we try to fire coaches and hire coaches. Ortiz is interviewing up here. We're going to lose this guy. So all of it doesn't take long. 48 hours after we feel bad about ourselves, we get back to hating the Steelers and picking the Cowboys to root against or whatever, right?
That's right. We have the 14th pick. Is that what they said? 14.
Somehow we bamboozled the Browns and finished in last place. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's dreadful. That is dreadful. Finishing in last place.
Not when you look at play Jacksonville.
No, hey, look, when you look at the conference and the division record, it was tragic. And hey, as we talked about, I think it was last week, we looked at the schedule, the road schedule. Yeah, you get to play Jacksonville. So we look, you got it going on. Have you cut the hair yet? You haven't cut the hair yet?
No, I haven't cut that. You want me to put it, take
okay,
it out?
I'm just checking because No, because next year you're going to be with, what's his name there? Trevor Lawrence. You and Trevor can compare the locks.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me pull it out. Let me see here. It's more Mark Gastineau, right? Like when it really comes down to it. Listen, playing the Jets next year. We're so bad. We finished so poorly. Six losses in a row.
We get to play the Jets and the Giants.
So, and the Giants. Well, we might wind up playing them in London again. I don't know. I don't know if that's possible.
Hey, look, I'll find that out.
This is
how the league does it. They make you play your division, right? And then you play comparably placed teams in the other divisions. So, look, you get to play the Jags, Giants, the Jets. It ain't so bad. They're not going to get better suddenly. I mean, they're 2 3-win teams, 3-win team, 4-win team. They're not going to suddenly get better. So it's not so bad.
I'm just hoping we put a bus trip together to the Jets and the Giants. Sounds like fun.
We could have been a lot worse. Let's not kid ourselves. We stole the Chiefs. We stole the Lions. We could have had two more losses. I don't know if you could finish worse than last place, but hey, you know, it could have been really painful. And then how about these folks that are screaming week 13, 14, maybe 14. This Huntley kid, he's the real deal. You know, we don't need to pay Lamar. And then the guy couldn't throw the ball to a receiver. You know, how many balls? I mean, he's a good kid. He seems like a good kid. He tried his best. He worked really hard, I think, on the field. He did all he could. But my goodness, how many overthrows and underthrows and missed throws? Guys were wide open. He couldn't throw it in a barn. I mean, he's better than me. I couldn't throw it. You know, 10
well, it was
feet,
wet but. Too, and it was the Steelers, and you know, the emotion of all of this. As a Raven fan, I should be way more bent out of shape. 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't have come out. I wouldn't have been able to do the show this week, thinking about the Steelers coming in
having
a party, keeping their season alive. We thought it was Ben's last game, and now I'm going to watch him play on Sunday night in the playoff game.
How dreadful is it that they got into the playoffs? The Chiefs better smoke them. That's all I got to say. If the Chiefs lose that game, I'm just going to be sick to my stomach. That's going to be the worst. The Chiefs have to kill them. They just have to. I mean, the guy, has Ben thrown a ball complete for more than 15 yards this year? I mean, my God, everybody knows what he's doing and you can't defend it. 2-yard dunk, 3-yard dunk, 5-yard dunk. And nobody could defend it. We couldn't stop. Fourth and eight to win the game. Fourth and eight, we couldn't stop a guy knowing that man does not throw the ball 10 yards down the field. It's dreadful.
Well,
it's
we're bringing dreadful. Guys off the street to play defense here at the end of the year. So, you know, I am
no doubt about it.
I'm a Harbaugh. I'm fair with Harbaugh and I'm fair with the whole organization. I'm not a guy that can be fire wink. You know, Greg Roman's got it.
They didn't have players this year.
This was an incomplete grade for me on the report card.
I agree. That's exactly what it is. It's not a bad grade. It's an incomplete. It's a class you would have dropped in college. You would have said, this is not going well. We're just going to drop. We're just going to take an incomplete. We'll start again next semester, see how we do. That's exactly right. I think that's a great explanation of what this was. There's no assessment here. There's an assessment of some backup players that you can certainly know who you got second, third, fourth string. So that's okay. You know, but you do that in preseason, not on game 15, 16, 17. But man, we paid an ugly price for an ugly season.
Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global. He does money and finance and advising and helps people along and gives people good advice so that they don't make mistakes. All right. Speaking of mistakes, right? So let's get to real life here. By the way, big shout out to Von Paris and John Von Paris and Matt and the family over there, Steve Gosman, all of them. They're moving me next week. We're moving out to Towson area. So it's all, you know, we're good on that. But the emotions of moving and the finances of moving. And it's the one time in your life you really get a big spreadsheet of taxes and money and amortization and consequences, which is my work. So the consequences of me investing downtown in the sky with this literally is the view. If you watch me on YouTube or your social media friend, you know, I take wild pictures of storms and we've loved living downtown. So
that has huge value.
Yeah, I mean, we've been happy here. We've loved every minute of being here. We haven't been mugged, haven't been shot at, haven't been like all that. We walk everywhere. We've walked everywhere downtown. My wife's battled cancer twice here, 1.6 miles away from one of the greatest hospitals in the world to do such a thing. The reason we bought here, I mean, obviously, we love the view. We love the urban life. We thought one car. My wife worked a block away. She took the gig here, she was working downtown. And the real reason when we moved here was to go to Oriole games. Isn't that funny? Right? Like, you'll laugh at that, how much life changes in the summer of 2003. We actually moved downtown because of the flood. Isabel flooded my basement, overwhelmed my sump pump in White Marsh, and I came home to $15,000 worth of damage in the basement. My place was worth more money. I was a newlywed. My wife had just made a fortune selling her place. So it was like, all right, let's move downtown and have a married life together, right? I was 34. I'm 53 now, right? So you deal with this all the time that I haven't known you quite this long, but I've known you half as long, right? If I would have met you in 2003 and said, Leonard, I got a hotsy-totsy place down in a great, you know, business district downtown. Ravens had just moved downtown. Ravens are fine. Yep. 2003. Angelos is either going to be dead or fix the team, or Cal Ripken's going to own the team. Like, all of that. And we were only 4 years into the Orioles really being crappy.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
Hey, Phillips is still here, right? I mean, the Harbor's coming.
Like, you win. It's a great deal.
So I want to move downtown with my beautiful wife, and we moved downtown here. We live here. Now, 19 years later, two mayors in prison, Freddie Gray, plague, clearly different economics, different everything, the way the world is, remoteness, how many buildings are vacant, you're
vacant.
How many 100 loss years there have been for the Orioles and the attrition of all that. So, losing money on my place, yes. Happy to be leaving now? Not really.
Go
ahead.
Let's talk losing money on the place. There's a way to do that, and there's a way to avoid that. And I don't know what you did, because again, we didn't know you then. So I'm moving to the city. I'm buying this place. I'm going to put a number out there. You don't have to confirm it. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. The place is $500,000. So we're going to buy $500,000 place in the city. What do you think? I think it's brilliant. I think it's a great idea. You're going to have the lifestyle you want. Everything looks good. Your life is fantastic. Do it. How much money do you have? Well, we've got $300,000 from the houses we sold, and we're going to put that down, have a $200,000 mortgage. We can afford that. It's going to be great. The way we go. And that was how long ago?
2003.
So 18, almost 19 years ago now. Okay. Here's my recommendation to you as your advisor. $500,000 house. Either of you a veteran?
No.
Okay. So we got no VA loans, but what we have in 2003 is back then what's called a liar loan. We probably had those with Washington Mutual back then, and you could have put down 3%. So you put down $15,000 on the house, and you pay a really low rate, variable rate mortgage, and we decide how do you make their payments on an optional basis as we go forward. And rates were pretty high back in 2003 still. They were coming down, but they were still pretty high. But you would have had on, let's just say again, that hypothetical $500,000 house, about a $470,000-$480,000 mortgage. And I would have taken your $300,000 in cash. Again, we don't, these aren't real numbers. So for those listening out there, this is a strategy. We would have taken that money. We would have invested it in a globally diversified half stock, half fixed, 50-50 portfolio. And we'd have let that money cook. And you would have paid your mortgage out of your cash flow. And if you needed a little help because you fell behind or your incomes weren't what you thought, whatever, you would have taken a little bit of money out of that investment account on an annual basis to help subsidize your cash flow cost to pay the mortgage. And you'd have had a big mortgage. Time moves forward. 2005, 2007, 2010. Rates are coming down. Rates are coming down. Rates are coming down.
World falls apart in nine. No, right? Nobody saw that coming.
Well, hang on.
Right, go ahead.
I'm saying to you, Ness, what's going on with your house down here, your place? Are you staying? Are you moving? You tell me you're staying. I love Baltimore. I'm staying this view. I can't beat it. I'm staying in the city. Great. We're going to refinance to a 30-year fixed loan at some point, and we're going to drop in at a 6.556% rate. Great. We're not going to put any more money down. We're just going to do a rate and term refinance, and you're going to get new mortgage. Okay, great. We're going to go another 5 years. Rates are 4%. You're going to refinance again. You're going to keep refinancing, and you're not going to put any more money down. And at some point, because what you're telling me now is leaving this place, that $500,000 place we bought is now worth $300,000. So we've lost money. Okay, but you didn't lose money in my strategy at all. Because what happened was your $300,000 that you invested earned an average of, let's just be conservative here, 7% per year, 7% in the combined portfolio. So a 7% return on the money, that means it doubles every 10 years. So it's been about twice that you've been there, two doubles. So your 300 became 600, the 600 became a million two. So you lost money on the place, a couple hundred thousand, but your investments are worth a million two. And you had a life, you had a great life. You're in great shape. Now, we have a mortgage on this place still. It's $400,000. The place is only worth $300,000 and we want to leave. Okay, do you have any sponsors that are banks? Yes or no?
I know some friends at Rosedale Federal, yes.
But okay, but is your mortgage with them?
No, it's not.
No, because we wouldn't do this to a sponsor. We would do this to another unnamed large national bank.
Let's do it to Wells Fargo. That would be fun.
Okay, great. Wells Fargo. We would do what's called a deed in lieu of foreclosure, and we would walk away from the house today. And what we would say to Wells Fargo is the house is yours. You can have it. And it's worth $300 and my mortgage is $400 and I'll take the hit on my credit for the next few years because I'm going to go move out to Taos and I'm going to rent a place because I don't know where I want to live right now and where I want to make my permanent residence. And I'm going to go live in Taos and rent a place. And I got $1.2 million in my account and I walk away from Wells Fargo and they hold the note and tough on them. And I don't have a $200,000 loss because the value of the house I really could care less about because it's not my money. It's the bank's money. So let the bank eat it. They made the call. They made the loan. They lost. Okay, they come after me for the $100,000. Good, let them come after me. All right, fine. We'll deal with that later. But then maybe I have to pay them $100,000. If I have to pay them $100,000, it comes out of my $1.2 million. I'm left with $1.1 million. I win. Now, the other side, you put $300,000 down on this place. You have a $200,000 mortgage. The payment's easy. The problem is you don't have any money. So over the next 10 years, you pay an easy mortgage. You don't invest a lot of money because most people who put a lot down and have a little mortgage then take the difference in what they would have paid on a higher mortgage. And rather than invest it at that 7% smartly, they blow it because they just have a great lifestyle and the money's gone. So 20 years later, 19 years later, they got a house that's underwater.
I've never bought a boat, Leonard. I'll let you know that.
There you go. They have a house that's underwater. They can't walk away because their money's in it, not the bank's money. And then it's a financial loss and I don't have any side investments because I blew the money because I had a great life and not a lot of discipline there financially and you lose. And we say, okay, that So there, what you see is the clear difference between two financial strategies. Now, notice it didn't matter who the mortgage was with. It didn't matter what the rates were. It didn't matter where you invested the difference, whether it was the payment or the excess equity. You could have put that in an S&P 500 fund and let it
alone
for
17
years.
You're very anti-down payment, aren't you? You're very anti-down payment, and you're very anti-owning bricks, right? Like, literally,
there's no reason to have wealth in real estate. It doesn't do the bricks, as you've seen, they go up or down in value whether you own it or the bank owns it. It doesn't make a difference.
And you also have no control over that. You can build a deck, build a pool. You know, you're not really in control of the neighborhood or the market.
And your value now is in the dead bricks instead of your value being outside of the dead bricks. Additionally, anywhere along the way, I might want that money for an opportunity to buy another place that's a rental place, to buy two places, to buy five places. I might want that money to use to buy life insurance before my wife gets sick, that God forbid something happens. You know, we have the money to pay off the mortgage, or I buy life insurance on me and her so that if something happens, we have the money for the survivor to pay off the debt with tax-free capital. I mean, we unfortunately lose clients at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And when a life insurance policy floods tax-free dollars into the surviving spouse, life goes on.
It
doesn't matter
things.
If I have
sure.
a mortgage right. because yeah. I have cash-free tax-free.
Well,
cash.
Let's be honest. The grieving process, the humanity of it's difficult enough, right?
Right.
To lose
you
your house
to
and
move
your spouse
at the
right?
same time.
Right.
That's right. You lose your house. You lose your spouse. You have to sell the house. You have to move. I've seen people, not my counsel, but I've seen people that referred to me that had to sell their house because he ran a business and he wasn't insured right, and he died. And we have little kids, and I can't keep the house because we live in an amazing neighborhood with a great house and can't afford it because there wasn't enough life insurance. I got to move in with my mother, take the kids out of their school, move to another area, sell the house. We have no business. I was a stay-at-home mom. Life is done. And what $1 million or $5 million of money flooding in wouldn't do. But with a house, your money in the house is dead. Whether that house became 500 became 300.
So you like my idea of moving right now and renting and sitting still for a little bit. You like that, don't you?
Absolutely. If you don't know where you're going to be.
We've talked about it, right? Literally, we've talked about it repeatedly, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. If you don't know where you want to live long term, renting is a great opportunity. And you can pick up and leave. You don't want to stay, you leave. So what?
Take that money and invest it with someone like you that knows what they're doing, right?
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
Leonard Raskin is here. I want to give you a plug. Raskin Global. Find him out on the internet. We just had that was an interesting little intervention on real estate that we had there on the back end of our football conversation. Tell everybody what you're doing in the new year in regard to when somebody like me does this and says, all right, I'm out of this house now. I have money that I can do this or that or whatever. And I know it's been difficult with kids not in school. I mean, I'm not even doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour right now. I've hiatused it a little bit. We'll get back to Nacho Mamas. It's a little weird period here right now, but you're still out there, and this is as good a time as any to get some counsel. I keep saying to my wife, I feel like we're going back into the hole again like 2 years ago, and I don't lament that, and it sucks that we're not cocktailing and doing all of that in the winter that I'd like to be doing out of the sports bar eating wings over, you know, having a crab cake with you. But I would say this, it's a time where over the next couple of weeks, it's a good chance to sort of reset a little bit. If you're home, go through your paperwork. It's a new year. Figure out how you did last year, how you want to do this year. There is a little bit more time for you in the coming weeks that people get their finances together. It's important.
Absolutely. And we've always said, and we've talked about this a number of times also, you know, my best analogy, you're either in a zoo or a mall. Put yourself in a zoo or put yourself in a mall. And right in front of you is that big sign that's the map of the place. And everywhere that you go and you want to go somewhere else, even if you're out on the road and you're GPSing, the first thing that the GPS or the map needs to know is, where are you? Where are you? You have to set a baseline. You've got to have a personal balance sheet. You've got to have a personal business income statement. There is not a business that exists that could go to a bank and say, I want a loan. And the bank wouldn't say, we need your balance sheet and your income statement. And every business either has one or they fail. It's very simple. You either have a balance sheet and an income statement or you fail. That's how the world works, because you got to know where you are. Then you start to lay out the where do I want to go? And that's what we help people with. First and foremost, we help people figure out where they are. We have a program. It's a personal website. It's called the Living Balance Sheet. On there, you get the opportunity to put in all of your information and tell us where you are. Once we know where you are, then we talk together about strategy for where do you want to be. And so if I want to see the elephants and I'm in front of the lions, this is the path I got to walk. Now, as you just said, so well, difference between the zoo, the mall, the GPS, although the GPS is good, difference between the zoo and the mall and the GPS, let's keep that as our example, is the zoo and the mall don't get traffic jams. They don't get storms. They don't get high interest rates. They don't get inflation. The walk between the lions and the elephants is always the same path. You can get there a number of ways, but it's always the same. They don't move. Nothing gets in your way.
You know where I am in life right now, selling the condo and like making this move at 53 after 20 years, right? Like my life is so much different. You know what I'm doing in the zoo? I'm going back to the front, up to the front gate, and just gauging the whole place again. Like, because I've been lost in the maze over where the chimpanzees are and about a monkey cage, and I smell the animal poo, you know, and I'm trying to find the penguins. So I'm not really looking on the big map. I think going back to the front door and saying, all right, do I want lions or do I want zebras? You know, like what?
That's right.
So I think
that front gate, you can then make steps of with intelligence of where you want to go. So step one, what's my balance sheet look like? Step two, what's my income statement look like? What's coming in? What's going out? I had a recent call with a couple that I've counseled over the years. And the guy said to me, we can't retire when we thought we wanted to. And I said, well, what's going on? And I haven't seen these people. I haven't met with them in years. They kind of went dark. So they moved, they changed jobs. Their kids grew up and we haven't counseled for years. And now suddenly they're calling me back saying, we really need help. And I said, okay, let's baseline. And just like you said, he's now at the front door of the zoo again. And he said, I'm really scared we won't be able to retire. And I said, why not? And honest to God, this is what he said. We spent the last 10 years spending way too much and we don't have enough. And it's scaring the heck out of me. And I'm 58 and I think I'm going to have to work forever. And I hate it. And he said, we could have been doing stuff that you told us to do 10 years ago for so long. We'd have been so much better off. But we've just spent and spent and spent. And I said, okay, here we are. We got the balance sheet. We got the income statement. Let's start talking about how you're going to bang away as much as you can. Get a rate of return.
So it's never too late to get out of the reptile area and get back
absolutely.
To the front of the
you
zoo.
You start over. You lay down your line and you say, okay, here's where we're walking next. And we walk. You crawl, you walk, then you run. And we're all about helping people figure that out while you save the most in taxes, you save in interest costs. I don't like interest costs. You heard me say you're going to have a mortgage. You're going to have a mortgage forever. That's a different interest cost than a car loan, than a student loan, than a credit card. You know, I've seen people have a 24% interest credit card with a $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 balance. It blows my mind. You know, the banks are getting rich and you're getting poor. I've seen people in the last year, not today, because interest rates have trickled up a little bit. They've bounced up a little bit. But I saw people a year ago that had 4.5%, 5% mortgages on their homes, and they didn't refinance them because they just didn't get around to it. You could have had 2.5%. The bank is getting rich and you're getting poor. So I like mortgage interest. I don't like a lot of other interest for no reason. And you've got to produce a greater outcome than your costs. You know, we talked about, and I just said, invest that money for 17 years. If you look at the history of just the S&P 500, and that's not a great investment, by the way. You know, that alone is not a great investment. It's not a diversified portfolio. It's large U.S. stocks. However, if you had no counsel and no sense about you whatsoever, and you said, hey, I heard about this S&P 500, large U.S. stocks. I'll go put my money in one of these S&P 500 funds for the last 17 years. You'd have made a fortune. And it doesn't matter where you put the money, you would have made a fortune, except in the bank. So you could have invested that money almost anywhere and made money. And so it's just a matter of strategy. Once we know the baseline, then we know what the long-term picture wants to be. Then the goal is to make it more than you wanted sooner than you thought possible. That's what we help people do. Get faster down the road, safer still down the road to get to a place that's faster than you wanted to get there, further than you wanted to go, sooner than you thought was possible, with a significant degree of safety, putting bumpers around that money. And most people don't think what I just said is possible. And I've proven it over and over again with thousands of people for 37 years. And that's why clients that we work with today are third and fourth generation, because they get referred by their grandparents and their parents. And they recognize that these people have been able to have the life they want. Like you're talking about, there is absolute value to quality of life, huge value to quality of life, and not sacrifice financially.
Leonard Raskin, it's what he does, why I wear the shirt. You can find him out at Raskin Global. And of course, out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com when we're not talking about draft picks and Super Bowls and odds and injuries and contracts and who's going to sign Lamar and all that. Hey, man.
Go Pack, go.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're Packers guy. That's right. You're Aaron Rodgers. I got you. The discount double check.
Hey, man. You've watched some of these Peyton Eli things on Monday night.
Of course. Manning Cam.
So last week, I think it was last week, they had Rodgers on.
They did.
And I don't know if you caught it, but it was so funny. Peyton said, I think between us, you know, the three of us and others, I think we've got all the insurance company commercials pretty well wrapped up. It was so funny, but they're on there, man. There isn't a commercial. You turn on any sporting event, certainly football, you're going to see Rodgers, you're going to see Mahomes, you're going to see Peyton, you're going to see Eli. Now Cooper Manning is even all over the
commercials.
You're
going to see Baker Mayfield doing commercials, but not playing football this week.
Baker is all over the TV. Another insurance company.
Well, give the Browns a kick in the nuts on the way out as the Bengals are playing this weekend, right? Leonard Raskin, him at Raskin Global. Find him out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. I am Nestor. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out safely. We're going to have some crab cakes with good people like Leonard Raskin and doing that all around the Beltway. I'm putting plans together. I feel like I have a little extra time here because I don't have a bus trip to Buffalo this week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. That doesn't mean I won't eat wings this weekend. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.